Celebrate New Year's Eve with WGXC, live at the Half Moon in Hudson. Ring in 2016 with food, party, and sound, featuring the La Vida Band, jazz musician Bobby Previtt and friends, and worldly vibes with DJ Neva of WGXC's Music for the Masses. Plus, cocktails, food, and festivities by Table Table. Admission at the door is on a sliding scale of $10 to $20 and goes directly to support hands-on creative community radio for Greene and Columbia counties. So turn out or tune in on Thursday, December 31st, starting at 8 p.m., live at the Half Moon, 48 South Front Street at the corner of Allen Street and Hudson, New York, and over the airwaves on WGXC 90.7 FM and WGXC.org. For more information, visit WGXC.org or call 518-697-7400. See you there.
Wavefarm programs are made possible in part by the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes a great nation deserves great art. Radius is an experimental radio broadcast platform located in Chicago, Illinois, USA. Radius presents the Sketchpad series. Sketchpad is an ongoing monthly radio program produced for Wavefarm. Wavefarm is a nonprofit arts organization that celebrates creative and community use of media and the airwaves. Wavefarm provides access to transmission technologies and supports artists and organizations that engage with media as an art form. The Sketchpad program features a rebroadcast of previous Radius episodes. Each episode is followed by a playlist of works selected by that episode's artist. The series seeks to highlight the peripheral work that influences the research and production of the episode. Radius presents Episode 63, Eric Lenderson's Sound Tent at Camp Sherwin. Eric Lenderson's Sound Tent at Camp Sherwin uses sounds recorded and selected from a gathering for listening to the Dawn Chorus on the shoreline of Lake Michigan on the north side of Chicago. Lake Michigan is the second largest of the five Great Lakes. It is an essential and also challenged natural and economic resource. Connecting the Dawn Chorus to an electroacoustic community of live open microphones on the web is a curious phenomenon, linking an elemental substance and process of the earth to technologies of transmission. Arranged into an audio composition, Sound Tent at Camp Sherwin is a creative work in sound called from an ecotone, a transitional zone between two biological communities. At Camp Sherwin, sounds of waves, birds, and humans mix. Following the Dawn Chorus event on May 2nd, presented in collaboration with Sound Camp Reveal, a real-time audio stream continued for the remainder of the month from a secure, private location nearby the public one. From one standpoint, the real-time audio stream is a form of electronic eavesdropping. From another, it is a shared resource for eco-sensing and the soundscape, monitoring and reminding us that life depends on water, the essential ingredient for all life. Its movement and disappearance shapes the landscape in an audibly cyclical and dynamic process.
Thank you. So again, you are tuned into 88.9 FM, listening to Radius episode 63, Eric Lenderson's sound tent at Camp Sherwin. almost. Two more minutes.
2 minutes for the sunrise.
Time I've dipped in the lake. I had a season. I had
you
enough.
You have something to dry your feet off of?
I used this thing.
Oh.
Extra bag.
Yeah.
past noon, and we are on lunch break ending. I thought maybe I should stop talking about it now. I don't want to bore you here. And maybe open it up for questions. Because I was really looking forward to having a Q&A session, because I think there's a lot of things we haven't figured out about what we can do, how to do it, and so on. And I'm really interested in hearing if you have ideas or if you just want to know more. And so I'm going to begin to talk about it from that point. Or if you wanted to hear some examples of the sounds, you can do that too. So.
Well, I'd love to hear the sound, the live streaming sound from your place.
Okay.
Yeah, can you go to the Locust Stream map?
To go website? I have the Ice Coast.
Okay.
I have a listing of all the live streams.
Okay.
There's one labeled Chicago website.
Yeah, that's my house.
Okay.
So if you click on that little link like this.
Yeah, I can.
It should open up.
Maybe I can
hear my girls barking.
My house is about around 300 or 200 feet from railroad tracks, the train, so constantly passing through.
So you're hearing now what's happening at your house right now?
This is at my house right now.
So
there's probably a 10-second delay. There's a certain amount of latency, I think, 5 to 10 seconds.
And what time is it there?
Well, 2 hours later in the day, so it'll just be about 2:18 in the afternoon.
We're outside.
Yeah, the mic is right in the window, so it's aimed outside, towards the back of my house. You know, in Chicago, we have alleys. That's kind of the same in Toronto.
So are these people in the street or in the alley?
These people sound like... Oh, there's a halfway house on the next block. So people will stand out in the back in the alley to smoke cigarettes and talk. So these are people who are probably recovering from drug problems or just out of prison. And have to do some time in the halfway house. It's operated by a church.
There's a lot of birds going on.
A lot of birds, a lot of sirens. We live, the railroad tracks are about 200 or 300 feet south of our house, and then about a 100 feet to the north of our house is a high-rise building. It's a City of Chicago senior citizens apartment building, so a lot of people are coming on from there. Also, it's a regular stop for emergency vehicles. When people have to go to the emergency room quite often. Sound and the environment and our life. And I think you have to have a Cajun attitude or engage in Cajun listening. So it is what it is. There's drama all around, but you never know what's going to happen.
You know, when I'm home, I don't listen to music because I spend so much time writing it. And I just listen to the sounds around me, like I'm listening to these sounds too now, even though we're talking. But when there's one of these festivals, I go, as you may have noticed, I go religiously to every single concert. It's my one opportunity to hear music. And for the most part, I enjoy everything. Last night, I was... I didn't really enjoy the Branca piece. It wasn't because it was so loud, because I can put up with the loudness. But I was... I felt negatively about the... what seemed to me to be the political implications. I wouldn't want to live in a society like that, in which someone would be requiring other people to do such an intense thing together. I've been thinking more about it today, but I really didn't like the experience. But as I think about it, I become more open to it. Not that I would embrace it, but at least I wouldn't forbid it. But this is this shows how wide and how changed our notion of composition is. I have some difficulty with it. The Branca is an example of sheer determination of one person to be followed by the others. Even if you couldn't hear, you could see the situation that is not a shepherd taking care of the sheep, but of a leader insisting that the people agree with him, giving them no freedom whatsoever. The only breath of fresh air that comes is when the technology collapses. The amplifier broke. That was the one moment of freedom from the intention. But the moment that it was reinstated, the intention resumed.
But what is the difference? I mean, you also have always determined the goals. Even if you said it's going to be a non-goal for me, then it's also a determination that you have thought before you wrote the piece. That you defined your non-goal as goal also.
No, that's a misuse of the language. If you say that a non-goal is a goal, then you're using the language to defeat the mind. If I can't say non-goal and mean non-goal, instead of meaning goal again, then the language is of no use. I have a different attitude toward life than he is expressing. It's not the same. But we can both live. I don't think, though, that the image of that power and intention and determination would make a society that I would want to continue living in. But you like it, so I would like to hear more what is good about it. Would you want to live in such a society? I can't imagine wanting to live in such a society. It reminded, if say it was good intentions that he was expressing with vehemence and power, it would be like one of these strange religious organizations that we hear about. Wouldn't it? It would resemble that. Or if it was something political, it would resemble fascism. In neither case would I want to be part of it. I much prefer the thinking of Thoreau, of anarchy, of freedom from such intention. That's how I feel. And I don't think by any means, any conceivable means, that Branca is a step in front of anything. He may be popular at the moment, but popularity is nothing. Because what is popular now is not popular tomorrow. All of those things change. Nothing is more fickle than popularity.
But it will never become popular music, this music.
It won't, but I thought it in the program it says it is popular, that he's a star and very successful. Didn't you just say
he's
that?
He's less successful than you are.
I don't know what that means. I don't know how successful I am. What I'm doing now is trying to find the next piece which I'm to write, and so far I haven't succeeded. The music which he played last night was not written.
Yes.
No one was reading anything.
Yes, they had all stands, music stands with music.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, everybody has had a stand. It is written music.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't see any music. Really?
Yes.
I must ask some other people. I must say I didn't see it. David Tudor's music now has to have David Tudor with it, otherwise it doesn't get played. And I think Branca is the same way. It has to have Branca. Laurie Anderson has to have Laurie Anderson. My music is quite different. I don't have to be present.
There has been a time also in which composers said and wanted to stay as close as possible with their own music.
Like the troubadours of the Middle Ages. Well, that's what these people are like. It's a return to the Middle Ages. But with the use of modern technology. In fact, it's the modern technology that makes it Moyen Age. Because they make circuits and so forth upon which they become habitually dependent. And if the circuits don't work, don't function, the music collapses. It's very different from writing a music which can be used by a stranger, someone you don't know. Or at least you cut the what's it called? The cord that connects us to the mother.
In Flemish, it's called the navelstreng.
Yes, at least to cut that. There was a beautiful remark by Margaret Mead. Do you know her name?
Yes.
I knew her, and she said that now that we live longer than we did, that there's no reason why we should continue doing the same thing all the time. That we could change more than we thought was proper before. I always try to find something new.
The idea of newness is...
It interests me, yes. And if you want to say then that always wanting something new is the same thing all the time, then again you're not using the language properly.
You were one step before me now.
But weren't you going to go there?
I won't tell you.
At least you opened the door toward that idea. I wouldn't mind becoming open to them. And that's why I say every now and then, can you tell me what it is that really interests you about it?
It has to do with non-communication.
Just being? You mean being one thing? Making one sound? And not saying anything, But why the insistence?
It's like a scream.
Is it in opposition to the environment? Is it a scream about something, or no?
No, I don't think so.
It's just a scream?
Yeah. It's hopeless.
Hopeless? You mean because it's an end in itself?
Yeah, it's only about energies. It's an accumulation of energies without content, without dialectics in it, without communication, without feedback.
And
it's very libidinal.
What does that mean? Oh, through full of desire?
Yeah.
Well, then it is dialectic, because desire is for something other than itself. Is it erotic?
I say yes.
But not with regard to anything loved, just with regard to itself?
Probably.
Then it's purely narcissistic.
Yes.
Then of what use is it?
It's probably useless. Why?
Then how can you like it if it's useless? Or how can you use it if it's useless? I find it then terrifying. But you don't. My knees were weak last night after that experience. I had trouble standing at the same time that I didn't want to sit down. It's like a reflection of the sunshine on the building or something. I mean, when the sun is very bright and hits your eye by hitting a building in a particular angle, and you see a bright light coming to your eye, something like that.
Talking about the difference between using power and intelligence in music.
Yes. abandon the relation to the 21st century.
Yes.
If we follow the example of Branca, I doubt whether we would have such a century, because no intelligence is suggested, only power and energy. We would more quickly, by those means, end ourselves even in the 20th century than get to the 21st. That's the sort of thing we're doing, actually. If I say not by we, now the nations. I think we need a calmer use of our faculties. One of the things I dislike most about European music is the presence of climaxes. And what I see in Branca, as in Wagner, is a sustained climax. It also suggests that what is not it is not climactic. One of the principal statements that, for me in Zen Buddhism, is Nichi Nichi Koreko Nichi. Every day is a beautiful day. To be able to move one's attention and from one point to another without feeling that one had left something important behind is the feeling which I enjoy having and which I which I hope to give to others. So that each person can place his attention originally rather than in a compelled way or in a constrained way. So that each person is in charge of himself.
It's a calm morning. I'm on Kitts Beach in Vancouver. It's slightly overcast and very mild for January. It's absolutely wind still. The ocean is flat, just a bit rippled in places. Ducks are quietly floating on the water. I'm standing among some large rocks full of barnacles and seaweed. The water moves calmly through crevices. The barnacles put out their fingers to feed on the water. The tiny clicking sounds that you hear are the meeting of the water and the barnacles. It trickles and clicks and sucks. The city is roaring around these tiny sounds, but it's not masking them. I could shock you or fool you by saying that the soundscape is this loud. But it is more like this. The view is beautiful, In fact, it is spectacular. So the sound level seems more like this. It doesn't seem that loud. But I'm trying to listen to those tiny sounds in more detail now. Suddenly, the background sound of the city seems louder again. It interferes with my listening. It occupies all acoustic space, and I can't hear the barnacles in all their tininess. It seems too much effort to filter the city out. Luckily, we have bandpass filters and equalizers. We can just go into the studio and get rid of the city. Pretend it's not there. Pretend we are somewhere far away. These are the tiny, the intimate voices of nature, of bodies, of dreams, of the imagination. You're still hearing the barnacle sounds, and already they're changing. Alfred Tomatis says that high frequencies charge our brain and give us energy. I often hear these tiny sounds in my dreams. Those are the healing dreams. In one dream, women living in an ancient mountain village were weaving the most beautiful silken fabric. It sounded like a million tiny voices, whispering, swishing, clicking, sizzling. In another dream, cottage, I entered a soundscape made by four generations of a peasant family sitting around a large wooden table, eating and talking. Smacking and clicking and sucking and spitting and telling and biting and singing and laughing and weeping and kissing and gurgling and whispering. In another dream, I heard bullets tinkling, bouncing like tiny marbles. A man was pursuing me with a gun. I was frightened. But the bullets tinkled. Metallic, tiny, seductive semen tinkling all around me. Like in Xenakis' Concrete PH2, made from the sounds of the discharge of smoldering charcoal, tinkling all over the Brussels Pavilion, like needles darting from everywhere, as Zenaka says. You can hear excerpts of that piece right now. In another dream, sitting in the car with a woman friend, I heard sounds of glass blinking and tinkling, sparkling. On the car radio, they announced that it was Mozart, the way Tomates wants us to hear Mozart. Tinkling and sparkling. These were the healing dreams, energizing. As soon as I make space to hear sounds like this, or to dream them, then I feel the strength to face the city again, or even to be playful with it. Play with a monster, then I can face the monster.
You have been listening to the Radio Sketchpad program produced for Wave Farm. This episode featured Radius Episode 63, Eric Lenderson's Sound Tent at Camp Sherwin.